Abuse of the body by any addictive substance or practice will certainly bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But He convicts not to punish, but rather that we might repent and receive forgiveness and deliverance. So thank God for it and respond as the Holy Spirit deals with you. I was listening to an interview with a gentleman who is the chairman of the Board of Prisons for the state of Texas when the interviewer asked, "Is there any difference in the inmates which are entering prison today and those who were incarcerated in previous years?" The chairman answered, "Yes, there's a great difference. The prisoners we're receiving today are much more violent than before. They seem to have no respect for the rights of other persons. Indeed, they seem to have no respect for themselves, even their own lives." Now, if a person has no care for his physical body and for his life, it's no wonder that addiction is so common in our generation. Does the Bible speak on that issue? Yes, it speaks very clearly. For instance, there is a strict prohibition of the use of alcoholic liquids as a beverage. Proverbs 23, verses 29 to 35 is one passage which gives this warning. It speaks of the sparkling wine which looks so beautiful, and then adds, "At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things." But you do not find the Bible saying, "You shall not smoke tobacco because it will give you lung cancer," or "You shall not take cocaine because it will destroy your body." So what about those addictive substances or activities of which the Bible does not speak? Well, there are biblical principles which are equally authoritative as direct statements. And here are four of those principles which should apply to all of life. 1, your body is sacred and belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 6:13 reads, "The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Now the Bible teaches that God made your body. He causes your bodily organs to function. He includes your physical body in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He lives in your body. He will raise your body from death and make it glorious like the body of Jesus. And He even makes this surprising statement, "Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now that's why God is concerned about your body and why you should be concerned about it also. What you do with your physical body, you're doing with God's property. Would you use a church building for activities which disobey and dishonor God? Well, of course not. But your physical body is the sanctuary of God far more than any church building can ever be. Your body is a sacred shrine because the Holy Spirit lives in your human spirit, which inhabits your physical body. Now, any place God dwells is a sacred place. So respect your body as an act of reverent obedience to God. 2, your body has an influence on your spirit, and your spirit has an influence on your body. Physical exhaustion, for instance, will make it difficult for you to worship God. And that's a good reason, by the way, to go to bed early on Saturday night. You can worship God better on Sunday if you get a full night of rest. Now, do you remember Elijah's flight from Mount Carmel in northern Palestine down to Mount Horeb on the Sinai Peninsula? It was a long and exhausting journey. At its end, he was so despondent, he requested permission from God that he might die. God was patient with his prophet, however. He provided food and permitted time for him to rest and sleep. And when his body was refreshed, God appeared to Elijah and commissioned him for further service. After being refreshed in body, the prophet was ready to be busy serving God again. But he was in no spiritual condition to serve so long as his body was exhausted. Many people limit their spiritual vigor because of the demands they put on their physical bodies. Addiction to anything, even an honorable thing like work, can affect you spiritually. If you would be your best, take care of your physical body. Addiction will work harm to your body, and so is a sin against yourself and against God. 3, maintaining or returning to health is a worthy goal. If you have not yet abused your body and affected your health by addiction, be sure that you do not do so. Guard your body as a precious treasure. No man would think of putting into the engine of his car a substance that would destroy it, and yet many put into their mouths or their veins substances which destroy both mind and body. Now we speak of drugs and alcohol as if intoxicating liquors were different from drugs, but they are not. In fact, beverage alcohol is a habit-forming narcotic drug. Social drinking is an abuse of the body, just as the same as taking other forms of drugs. Every drink of whiskey destroys brain cells which can never be replaced. So be warned. Abraham Lincoln is quoted concerning beverage alcohol, "What fools men are to put into their mouths that which will steal away their brains." And to that I say, amen. What do you say? If you have abused drugs, you've already done serious harm to your body, and it may be impossible for you to completely recover physically, but you can be better than you are at present. Your physical body has a wonderful capacity to rebuild itself. So stop immediately the use of harmful substances. Follow principles of healthy living. Ask God to restore your body to its highest potential, and you can recover far beyond what you are. Returning to health is possible, but only with diligent effort. Fourth, developing a conscience sensitive to God is essential. Romans 14:22 reads in part, "Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves." But what does that mean? It means you must guard your actions so that you have no qualms of conscience about what you allow yourself to do. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." What a testimony. You can say that if you've not violated your conscience before God, but it would mean you have lived in a holy lifestyle. One ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world is to notify us when we do something that violates the laws of God. We call it conviction of sin. Now, if you live in good conscience before God, you will not be convicted. But if you sin, He will certainly let you know. Have you so lived before God in regards to your habits that you have not been convicted by the Holy Spirit? If you can say yes, then it is only if you have lived free of addictions. Abuse of the body by any addictive substance or practice will certainly bring the Holy Spirit's conviction, but He convicts that we might repent and receive forgiveness. So thank God for it and respond as the Spirit deals with you. Father, we recognize these biblical principles you have given us to keep us free from addictions, and we thank you for recording them and preserving them to our day. We pledge to live by those principles and to keep our lives free from bondage to any addiction. We thank you for the deliverance you provide for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.